sensing a bit of an undercurrent here when it comes to Lions fans and what they believe heading into this season. We will get to that today at 12:18. And I'll be intrigued whether or not what I'm sensing is actually truly what's going on in our community here. Scott, the car, Scott Anderson, Kang behind the glass. We got Paul on phones. It is a Tuesday, and we started with arrow up, arrow down, and we got to the quarterback position, and we've been bogged down there. It started by saying, I think the arrow's slightly pointed down. Goff's fine, but the backup quarterback situation is unsettled. And as we did yesterday, and we talked about things that were starting to think because of the preseason, not committed to a position, not drawing any premature conclusions, not overweighing preseason performances, but starting to think it's possible that QB2 isn't on the roster. We start looking around the league at cut candidates. There are some intriguing names out there. Now, our motivations are different. but some people, think that if Goff goes down for the season, the season's probably shot. But if he goes down
we don't talk about that.
Yeah, if he goes down for a short period of time, who can play 500 ball? Who can tread water? Who can?
If he gets something caught in his eye in a sideline, has to miss a play or two.
Mm, right. This is a low impact injury.
Yeah.
Sure. 248-539-9797.
He's putting time out by Dan Campbell for yelling at somebody.
Well, that seems awfully unlikely, but I suppose. Do you, Jake, the arrow's pointed up or down for the running back position, which is hard to say because we haven't seen RB1 or RB2.
I think it's interesting because you're going to get more of a workload for Jahmyr Gibbs, which makes you think, okay, trending in an upward direction. But is a room as a whole, I would say down because we knew what we had with Montgomery. And then other players at the time were probably healthier than this group is right now because Pacheco is banged up right now. Sailors is, I like Sailors, but he's been a little bit banged up too. And I don't know who the fourth running back is going to be.
I actually think it's pointed up slightly because I do like what I've seen from the running game without Pacheco and Gibbs. I think they've been, decent. And you know what it is, Craig Reynolds. We saw him play for Washington this past week. And I think Sailors and who's the other cat that averaged 5.3 yards per carry in this past game?
Small, complete.
Yeah. Jabari Small. Is that who it was? Anyway. Yeah. And I'm kind of encouraged what I've seen from some of these other ball carriers,
but they've been hurt. And someone got banged up in that game.
Yeah.
Which is why they brought in another running back.
What about the wide receiver position? Arrow pointed up or arrow pointed down?
So I think I'm going to say up. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that because everything that people are saying, and then you have video evidence. And I was at practice where I was like, is that Jamo wide open? Jameson Williams sounds like he's going to have a pretty big year. And to one of the previous callers, he said, well, we need to get somebody who's controlling the ball in stride. Yeah, Jared Goff's doing that. Mm-hmm. That's not a problem. So I like that. Now, Tesla is not trending in an upward direction, but maybe it was just a blip or maybe it's just a bad couple weeks for him. Dortch in for Raymond, kind of the same type of player. And then you've got the same cast of characters year in and year out, it feels like, with Tom Kennedy and some of these other guys that have been here for the last couple of years. I love it and the crew. So I think it's up because of Jamo.
I think that you're onto something. Jameson Williams, I mean, the fact is they have Amon-Ra, but if they didn't, we'd be talking about Jameson Williams being putting up some of the best numbers in the league. And his skill set is pretty special. And he's been able to compete and stay healthy and stay on the field and just get better and better and better. And, you know, the more you work with Jared Goff, the more these guys trust one another. That's why the thing is this offense has a chance to be so incredible. Is they're like finishing other sentences kind of players. And I think Jameson Williams, yeah, is poised to have a massive year. 248-539-9797, Dave in Clinton Township. Hi, Dave.
Hey, fellas. Hey, you were talking about Goff and him going down and what can happen.
Yeah.
I think the bigger question would be if he goes down early, and our season is lost because we will be picking in the top six if he does go down early. Mm-hmm. Do they take a quarterback? Jalen Sayan is sitting there at 3 or 4. Do you take him, and does that change the outlook of who you bring back?
And Doug, do you want to draft Steph or Rip?
Does it trigger like a mini rebuild?
I wouldn't think so. They don't have a lot of the expiring contracts they have to worry about are Branch and Laporta, and you know, if Branch comes back, I think it depends on a lot. It's way too early to say if an injury with Goff would trigger a rebuild. I would think not. And
I wouldn't think it does.
They're locking up their core players for like the next 4 or 5 years. I don't think one. Look, I guess it would be back-to-back injury-riddled seasons would trigger a rebuild.
Picking in the top 10, are they taking a quarterback? Would be the big question.
Dave, it's impossible to answer without seeing how the season goes. All right, the pick is in. The Detroit Lions select Justin Scott, defensive tackle, Miami. I don't know, dude. How did the season go? I wouldn't think they'd be taking a quarterback, no. And I would hope they would be going, if the season goes poorly and they're in the top 10, is there a great corner available? Maybe go corner?
I mean, that's probably where I would be looking at this point in time.
He did it to us.
Before the third preseason game.
He did it to us.
He did. Yeah.
Why did he do that to us?
Leonard Moore, quarterback, Notre Dame.
Is he the best one available?
Oh, I just looked up a mock draft, and the first one comes up is Sports Illustrated. I had one from 4 days ago, and the top corner taken is number 10 overall, Leonard Moore, cornerback, Notre Dame.
Okay. Pick is in.
Yeah, but there it is. There's your pick. Yeah. Curious where they have the Lions drafting in this one. The Lions are drafting, 28th.
NFC title game team?
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah.
No, right? I guess it wouldn't be. No. It's 29-30 or NFC title losers, 31-32.
Yeah, they have the Rams winning it all. And the pick going to Cleveland.
Edgy pick there.
Yeah. The Lions would select Bronte Johnson, safety, Notre Dame.
Okay.
So Kirby Joseph never came back or what? I know.
But his question is all we're doing is guessing because we don't know how the season goes. We don't know who's healthy. We don't know who's not healthy. We don't know what weaknesses got exposed. I would.
When is it the reach to take Drew Mestemaker, quarterback, Oklahoma State?
I'd say I don't suspect they would be taking a quarterback. To answer his question, is there any chance? How remote of a chance is it that they would be taking a quarterback?
I think it's quite remote.
Yeah, I do too.
In Kang? The first round?
Yeah, Kang?
Oh, yeah. Almost 0% chance. Yeah.
How about Cade Piper, guard, Iowa? That sounds like a Lions pick.
It does. An Iowa guard sounds good to me.
Yeah. Yep. They have Nick Marsh going for 13th overall.
Do they? Big year at IU, huh?
He could have a big year. Yeah.
All right, 248-539-9797. Coming up, undercurrent of this with Detroit fans, and I wonder if you fall into that category. Are we misinterpreting what we're hearing, what we're sensing, what is being implied? We will get to that today at 12:18. Are you going to eat that at 12:30? It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Did you see that Framber Valdez stat from last night?
The no swings and misses and no strikeouts?
Yes. That's...
No.
He generated 41 swings last night. Not one whiff.
Not one missed the bat?
Not one missed a bat.
It may have been fouled off, but not one of them was missed.
In the pitch tracking era, which dates back quite some time, no Tiger pitcher had ever done that. no Tiger pitcher had thrown that many pitches, generated that many swings, and had no misses.
You know, it's really amazing how one more run can make a difference, right? He's going through five innings, giving up three runs, has plenty left in the tank, bring him on for the sixth, and he gives up a solo shot. And he's done for the night after six full innings. They threw like 84 pitches or something like that. You would think plenty more left in the tank. If he doesn't give up that home run, does he come out and pitch a seventh in a game and it looks a lot better? If he can go seven innings and give up three runs, it looks a lot better, keeping your team in it. But it's the one run. He gave up the home run in the sixth, run that they couldn't afford to give up. And as a result, I mean, they couldn't have afforded to give up the second run of the game because they're not scoring.
Yeah, I don't know that it would have got much better. I think his defense bailed him out a little bit last night on some occasions.
For sure.
I think it was more than likely that he didn't have his best stuff. And the longer he was out there, the more likely it was going to get ugly.
It's not a good sign. it's not a good signing either. This is, you know, at the time, looked like great signing. He stepped up, going to make an effort. Look at this pitching staff we're putting together. Framber Valdez can be outstanding. And then this year what we've gotten is great Framber half the time. The other half, not great and terrible. And now you're getting to a point where he just finished a game where he's done something that no Tiger in the StatCast era has done, which is didn't get a swing and a miss. That's wild. And there have to be real concerns about him and what he means to this team because they've got him signed. I think it's a player option for the next couple of years. There's no way he's not going to opt into this contract because he's not going to get any contract in the offseason from anybody. So they're going to be on the hook for it for the next couple of years with a guy who maybe, is he done? I mean, it's probably too early to say that, but you're coming off a game where you didn't get a single swing and miss.
Yeah.
In a season where you've been erratic, to say the least.
Not trending in a
growth direction. It's been a disaster.
Okay. I mentioned this before the break. I'm starting to sense a bit of a trend here from Detroit fans. And that is, it's by implication. And I might fall into this category as well. A lack of respect for the defending NFC North champions. Do Lions fans fear the Bears?
I don't think so. I think by and large, no. I would think most Lions fans feel chesty about their standing against the Bears.
ESPN did a story today, and the morning show was talking about it, predicting NFL teams most likely to decline. And the number one team they predicted were the Bears.
Seems
and
obvious.
They used a couple of metrics to say one of the things that in football that is luck is when the ball hits the turf, which way it bounces on a fumble, who gets it? The Bears recovered 66.7% of the fumbles in their games last season, the highest rate in the league. 23 teams have posted a fumble recovery rate of 65 or more in any given season since 1990. Okay, so they were the 23rd team to do that. Those teams went 0-23 at replicating. They were the 24th team to do it. Sorry. Those teams, the 23 previous, went 0-23 at replicating that the following season, collectively recovering less than 50% of the fumbles. So we're talking about one of the highest fumble recovery averages in the history of the NFL since these things have been tracked. And
it's gonna
the pendulum swings back. The other thing that they documented in the story is how the Bears were common to be in dogfights and find a way to win. And many of times it was because of turnovers and maybe those fumbles. But there feels like there's an undercurrent of lack of respect for the Bears. I feel like in some people's case, it's just personal because they don't like Ben Johnson. Or maybe not don't like, motivated a bit by bitterness that Ben Johnson left and went to the Bears.
Well, I'm bitter, but when it comes to trying to figure out what the Bears are, I like to think I'm objective, even though I have bitterness towards Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. I think there's a wealth of talent within Caleb Williams, but I think Caleb Williams also can be his own worst enemy, plays hero ball and tries to extend plays that don't need to be extended, and he's looking for the highlight. But the reality is he didn't turn the ball over all that much.
No, he didn't.
Certainly throwing the football, he didn't. But he also didn't complete a very good percentage of his passes. The fact that the Bears will now have a first-place schedule, it matters. Mm-hmm. It really does. I mean, you have you're not taking on the weaker teams in the league anymore. So it's going to be tough for them.
Relative to the Lions, it's three games. You have three games that are for first-place scheduled, three games for a last-place
right, schedule. So they're going to have to take on, like, is it the Rams and or is it Seattle they have to play?
Three games are a lot.
So, by the way. Yeah. So it's on the road at Seattle. That's the reward for winning the division. Because, okay, now you got to take the best team from that division. That's not going to help them out. They have to play at Buffalo like the Lions do.
So the NFC North plays.
They've got Philadelphia instead of like what the Lions. The Lions take on the Giants in that division. They have to take on Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of those position games. The Lions, the Lions play the NFC or the AFC South, or is it the NFC South? The NFC South, NFC South, AFC East, and your three positional games. And the Lions three positional games. You mentioned the Giants, right? Arizona's one.
Is it New Orleans? Is that the other one?
No, they're in the NFC South.
Sorry.
But anyway, yeah, the schedule makes a difference. It just, the morning show brought it up. The morning show brought it up and talked about it. And Ken, you talked to Costa specifically about this. What was his wording of his feelings towards the Bears?
They're a big, they have a high chance of regression.
Yeah.
Essentially. Like, I don't know if they use the word luck or anything like that, but I mean, if you want to put the schedule game into it, that's kind of like lucky, right? What kind of schedule you play.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did bring up the completion rate and just turnovers in general and winning one score games. To me, the one score game thing is just a good team that finds a way to win. That's not luck, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, the Lions they've won when they had their good seasons and won a bunch of games. They won a lot of one score games.
Most games are close.
Yeah.
I mean, they just are.
Yeah, exactly. That's the NFL. And the good teams find a way to win more of those than not. Now, does it carry over to the next year? I guess no, but that doesn't mean they were necessarily a bad team last year is what I'm saying. I don't know what the future holds for the Bears this year. I think the Lions fans are chesty for two reasons. One, the spite factor with Ben Johnson. And two, they did beat the Bears twice last year. That's a fact. Even though they beat the Bears twice, they were finished last in division. Bears won the division. Now, I would still be weary of the Bears. Like, I wouldn't think it was necessarily a fluke last year. I think they have an up-and-coming head coach. Obviously, they like Ben Johnson for a reason. The up-and-coming quarterback. And I think Caleb Williams can only get better. Imagine if he is better. Then you have a real legit, rival here. You have a legit threat other than the Packers and Vikings.
You know, it's interesting when you look at another factor, and that is sometimes controllable, sometimes not, and sometimes reflective of luck, and that is injuries. In games lost last year, the Lions ranked 31st in the NFL. Only team that lost more games was Arizona. And 30th spot was Washington. They were the team that bounced the Lions from the playoffs 2 years ago, missed the playoffs. And if you look at the teams that had the least amount of injuries, here are the top three. New England, Philly, and Seattle. You think attrition plays a huge role? The Bears were in the middle of the pack. It's 17 in terms of games lost to injury. The NFC North, Minnesota was 9th in games lost to injury. Green Bay was 15th. Chicago was 17th. Detroit was 31st. So a lot of these teams were middle of the pack average amount of injuries. Lions were one of the extremes. So maybe that's another reason why Lions fans, at some point, my God, this organization, many times you create your own luck, but and the better you are, the more prepared you are to handle bad luck. I feel like this team is good and could use some good luck, man. I mean, we've had some bad luck. Even in this era of having a pretty competent organization.
Yeah, I mean, they went to the NFC Championship game and they had a ton of injuries on that team. And then that season said, hold my beer for the next season when they suffered even more.
Yep.
And then last year was another season, tons of injuries. And it does feel like the Lions have had to deal with more to big-time players in their roster than other teams have had. And they are totally due for a change in that luck, which we'd love to see because, obviously, we've had good teams. Good teams have been dragged back by injuries. In the past, we've had not good teams have had to suffer through injuries, and it doesn't matter. But it matters when you've got a good team. So, and this team is built for a window of opportunity here for this next several years. Please have some luck with the injury front.
Another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That coming up. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Gator, you are hanging on. Still have your firm grip on the Tigers club. Are you hanging on for that one last run? You think they have one last run in them?
I think they have one left in them, but they got to get Riley Green healthy real soon. Because I'm not sure they can do that without him. Dylan Dingler had a nice at bat last night. It was like a 10-pitch at bat and ended up with a single out of it.
The bloop single.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know, but the fact that he saw 10 pitches was good. But, I mean, if those two guys aren't going to be what they were, then they have no shot. I'm just watching for the young kids, and I'm not watching with any kind of hope that they're going to win the game. I'm just rooting for development, period.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I was a little confused. They signed a pitcher off of waivers. I think a pitch with Atlanta, maybe. They had gotten yesterday.
And Kinsley?
Yeah. Kinsley's the guy's name. So they got Ty Kinsley, and then they sent Ty Madden down. And if you look at their numbers, Madden has better numbers on the season than Kinsley does by a decent amount. But Kinsley's been better lately. Madden's struggled a little bit lately. Mm-hmm. So if that's their reasoning, okay, I guess. But at some point, and it's clear it's not right now for this team, you'll see a move by management where they're like, okay, maybe we're just going to make this move and go all youth and see what we have. But they're clearly not ready to do it just yet. They're 4.5 back in the wild card. No,
I wouldn't be if I were them either.
Yeah,
I
mean, no, you can't.
It's still checked out, yeah, but
it's still August. You know, you'll get an extra couple call-ups in September, and we'll see what happens there. But I think this week is going to shake out just the way everybody thought it would going into it. Not good. Taking on maybe the two teams that are going to face off in the World Series with Tampa and the Dodgers. My only hope is that there's some sort of epiphany that comes with this team on Friday, and don't let Skubal clown on you. I don't want to see that. That would be really disappointing and kind of devastating.
Like 7 innings of one hit baseball.
Yeah. I don't want to see that. It'd be nice if they can get some runs off of Skubal and hopefully win a game. But I think that these last 5 games this week, this could be rough.
All right, let's get to Are You Gonna Eat That? All right, Scott Anderson, here we go. We find new menu items and old goodies that come back, and you never know when somebody drops off something for us to taste test live on the air.
Oh boy.
But we will start with the fact that today there is big news. Scott, today, very big news. Today,
am I going to have to download a new app?
Perhaps, if you have not gotten the Starbucks latte yet. Pumpkin spice lattes are back, my friend, as of today. The popular seasonal beverage, story from USA Today, has become an annual rite of late summer since Starbucks introduced the beverage in 2003. PSL is made with real pumpkin flavor, pumpkin-related spices, including cinnamon, nutmeg, and clove, Starbucks signature espresso, and steam milk. The drink is topped with whipped cream and pumpkin pie spices and is available hot, ice, or blended. Scott, the pumpkin spice latte is back. Are you going to drink that?
So I want to make sure this is, it's back with real pumpkin flavor. Not real pumpkin, but real pumpkin flavor.
Real pumpkin flavor, yes.
What's the difference?
Well, one uses real pumpkin. You do some sort of puree to get your flavor out. Yeah. And the other one just uses spices. I don't care. Either way, I ain't doing it.
No?
I don't latte. I do not latte. I don't coffee.
You're not basic, huh?
I don't latte.
You don't? Yeah, me neither, man. I am I'm out as well. I don't
subscribe. I'm sure it tastes great.
Yeah, I'm sure. I wouldn't know, but I agree with you. I'm sure it tastes fine. I'm not a huge pumpkin spice person anyways. I'm not a Starbucks person really anyways. Not that I haven't had either, but I'm not one that needs to. Like, I know this is like people circle this date, I think, Doug, right? I mean, this is like set your alarm.
I mean, yes. I love pumpkin spice. I do. Nutmeg and cinnamon, and I love all that. But I just don't drink coffee, so this is wasted on me.
I'm in.
Here we go.
I love the pumpkin spice latte. I'm so in. And yes, not today, but at some point very soon. Gator, if the pumpkin spice latte does not appeal, they now have a pumpkin cream shake and espresso, a pumpkin spice chai, an iced pumpkin cream matcha, if that interests you. There's also pumpkin spice merchandise. If you want some merch, do you want your PSL glass?
I don't want any merch.
No? Okay, just making sure.
No, the only time I end up going to Starbucks is when we've been in Lakeland.
Right. That's true.
Because it's right there.
It's our stop. We'll go get some breakfast sandwich or some iced lemon loaf, a lovely iced lemon loaf.
It's either that or TSC.
Yeah.
One or the other. Yeah, you're right. All right. Lay's as a new potato chip.
Okay.
They're introducing the Lay's barbecue brisket flavor. Delivers a smoked meat flavor it promises. The potato chips made with similar ingredients to the classic brisket, including tomato powder, brown sugar, vinegar, onion, and garlic, plus beef fat for extra meaty flavor. However, that does not mean these Lay's barbecue chips are not vegetarian or vegan friendly. Gator, the Lay's beef brisket potato chip. Are you going to eat that?
Yeah. Sounds delicious. I don't necessarily love brisket, but it's because of the fat that comes with it. It gets too chewy for me, but the flavor I love.
I don't think this is not real brisket, though. It's just brisket flavoring.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, because Doug said it's like vegan friendly. So because of that, I'm out, man. Give me the real meat, dude. I don't, enough of this fake meat crap that.
It's a potato chip.
Yeah, I know, but they're trying to tell me it tastes, it's brisket.
It's just a seasoning
expect
you put on a brisket. That's all. Oh.
I think the seasoning would give me some weird sense reaction to that.
I think you have to try it.
I'm intrigued to try it, but I think I will instinctively gag, even though it won't.
Because you can say that you love the smell of smoked
meat. I love the smell of somebody smoking ribs.
That's what it says, smoked meat.
Ribs, yes. Brisket, not as much.
But this is like the fake Whopper you eat.
That's true. And that fools me every once in a while. Like, did they put a real Whopper in here? The Impossible Whopper?
I need to see Doug try it.
Chick-fil-A's fall menu. They've come out with a chicken and waffle sandwich featuring the signature Chick-fil-A filet between two maple-flavored waffles, complemented with three strips of applewood smoked bacon and a honey butter spread served warm with a side of classic syrup. Customers can customize the sandwich with a preferred filet option, original, crispy, or grilled. Gator, the Chick-fil-A chicken and waffle sandwich. Are you going to eat that?
Yeah, I'll eat the hell out of that. That sounds good. I get to control the syrup, so the syrup's not already on it, so you're getting all messy. I can just dip it how I like.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this sounds really good. This is like a great breakfast item.
Oh, it looks fantastic for breakfast.
Yeah, with or without, you can always remove the, you can customize it so you don't have to have the bacon on it. I'd probably try it the first time with bacon just to see the whole sandwich thing, because bacon belongs on a breakfast sandwich. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, thank you, Gator, finally. All right, yeah, bacon, you got to leave it on there if you ask me. The honey butter spread sounds delicious.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And then, like you said, the dipping. That way, yeah, I wouldn't pour the syrup all over. I would just use it as a dip, like a little in a ramekin and kind of dip my as I go.
I think Doug?
Doug?
So, obviously no bacon and the grilled filet, but
I love the regular Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Here's the thing about it. I always say the same thing. I do not want desserts for breakfast. if the honey butter spread is light and dipping maybe a little bit of syrup, but I prefer like today I had a great sausage breakfast, chicken sausage. It was outstanding. That's what I like for breakfast. I do not like, I'll have eggs.
But when you get a Chick-fil-A
avocado
sandwich,
toast, but
do you always get grilled Chick-fil-A sandwich? Or
about always, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think I'd probably try this. It sounds like a lot, but I think I'd probably try.
All right.
All right. When Doug's done customizing it, it's just a piece of grilled chicken breast.
Yeah.
On a dry waffle.
Next up, Cheez-It has launched a limited time food court stall in a Southern California mall. Here are some of the options. The cheesy bun. The cheesy bun is a warm cinnamon roll swirled with Cheez-It extra cheesy seasoned cream cheese frosting and then finished with a shortbread crumble, salted caramel crunch, and topped with a crunchy Cheez-It cracker. There is the Cheez-It dog, inspired by the viral Korean corn dog. This creative creation features a premium Wagyu hot dog coated in crispy panko and Cheez-It cracker crust, topped with mustard and ketchup, a pickle, Cheez-It extra cheesy crackers, and a dusting of Cheez-It seasoning. Are you interested in the Cheez-It cinnamon bun or the Cheez-It dog?
I'm going to start with the bun. I'm going to say I'm pissed at the bun because I love cinnamon buns. Love a cinnamon roll. They're fantastic. And the cream cheese frosting is how it belongs. Not combining savory and sweet. I don't do that. I can't have that. I'm not going to do it.
So you're a no.
No. Kang? Cheese flavor has nothing to do with cinnamon.
Yeah, I don't know how. I agree. I don't know what it has to do with cinnamon. It's a little weird. Do you like bread, though, like you do? Mm. Right? But that being said, I will pass on this. This seems weird.
Yeah, I'm clearly passing on this. What about the Cheez-It dog?
Yeah, I'll try the hell out of that.
Yeah, I mean, Korean corn dogs, if you've never had one before, they're like this. They're full of, a bunch of, it's not just the coating of the cornmeal or whatever. It's all the stuff on top of it, and I think this is worth trying for sure.
Okay, so that's a no for me. And that brings us to our final item from Officer Matt. He brought in another one of these Oreo flavors, limited edition. These are the cinnamon roll Oreo cookies.
Those are probably
cinnamon
terrible.
Cinnamon roll Oreo cookies. I've left a couple behind the glass for Paul and Kang to try. Hold on, take one.
Kang tried to grab the whole thing.
Yeah, he did try and grab the whole thing. just take a couple. Take a cookie. Good God. Did you see that?
Yes.
I was going to grab it.
I might want to
move
this
it
one.
And hand it back.
I've never kept any of these.
Whoa. It was like an alligator, real alligator. Yeah, just trying to get his hand.
Go ahead and try it, Gator. What do you think of the Oreo?
Smells like cinnamon.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And?
Oh, hell yeah.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
Kang, have you tried it?
It's good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's good. All right. It's better than the apple one. Maybe because I like cinnamon.
I think it's on par. Yeah, I love cinnamon. Huh.
Okay, even I like this one.
Wow, Doug. Wow. He likes it, Mikey. He likes it.
Put this in a blizzard.
Wow.
Look out.
What about you, Paul? Paul, you like that? Paul gives a thumbs up.
Yeah, he doesn't eat anything ever either, man.
Oh. I like it so much, I'm going to have a second.
Oh. Gator. You're not getting it back.
There it is. Another addition. So we all like the cinnamon bun.
Oh, yeah. That was delicious.
It tastes just like it described.
Thanks, Officer Matt.
Another edition of Are You Going to Eat That?
Yeah, those are really good.
What, the cinnamon bun Oreos?
Yeah.
Yep.
Because it's not just the cream filling. It's the cookie part. It has also the cinnamon flavor in it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Okay. A lot of feedback on the Bears thing. Whether or not people don't respect the Bears enough. Should we respect the Bears more? Hey, guys. Great show. No fear of the Bears from this fan. Lions swept the Bears last year. Yeah, Bears had a great year.
That happened.
And, the ESPN pointed out some metrics that really worked in their favor that are going to be hard to repeat, the biggest of which was recovered fumbles. Over 66%. That has happened 23 prior times that a team has recovered over 66% of the fumbles. The following year, those teams were below 50%. I don't think it means anything other than the ball doesn't always bounce your way. The other thing was their ability to, this is some credit to them, but it's pointed out that it might be a reflection of the other teams not doing this, but they made the play in the fourth quarter of a lot of games that won them a game. My first instinct is hats off to them. That is, but if the other team, you know, poops the bed in the fourth quarter.
Oh my.
Well, if that's what happened more than what you did, happened more than you did, then sometimes those things are hard to repeat. But that's an ESPN story. Next text. As it relates to the Bears, let's just put it this way. Ben is going to have to keep his shirt on a lot more this year. Oh. Not as many dubs, huh?
They have a shirt of that, by the way. I don't know if the Bears did it, but you know how fans put together shirts and... Yeah. There's a shirt in Chicago, Ben Johnson with his shirt off after that one, you know, in the locker room celebrating that win. So
really,
they love Ben Johnson, yeah. But yeah, keep your shirt on against the Lions at least.
Next text, you're talking about two or three fumble recoveries going the other way for the Bears. I do not believe that swings their season. The Bears will win the division. That's from an unnamed texter. Look, I think it's foolish to be completely dismissive of Hammond, but if you, I think they should be taken very seriously, but you know, there's a reason why the Bears are ended up number one on this list of teams that could regress. And here's what's funny about it. The story says, I don't typically put these teams in any real order. When Bears head coach Ben Johnson said his team was the number one regression candidate heading into 2026, though, how else could I start the decline? How else could I start the decline column?
Well, then you're taking that completely out of context because he was being sarcastic about it because he had seen an article saying something similar to this. He goes, "Well, yeah. You know, we are the team to going to regress the most."
Yep, that's kind of funny that they use those words against him. So let me see here. The Bears forced 33 turnovers and only turned the ball over a league low 11 times. Is there any argument that the league low 11 times is luck? I think that that's more of a credit to them, right? You only turn it over 11 times.
That's impressive.
And forcing fumbles is something you can do. It's yeah. The recovery of the fumbles that was an inordinately high number. But we'll see.
And how many of those came from the quarterback? You know, that he just jumped on top of the ball that he had.
Yeah.
You got hit, fumbled, and
maybe got your own, own fumble. Yeah. You wrote something in your show sheet. Which position needs to be fortified immediately before the break camp and prepare for week one? When you wrote that, are you talking about outside the organization? Or are you talking about somebody needs to step up?
I think more outside the organization. No, because. We briefly talked about and kind of jokingly about the backup quarterback position, but we did have fun with it. But I think that they're doing a serious deep dive in every roster right now in the National Football League and trying to identify who the cut candidates are okay. So that they can be first to get there. And from these cut candidates, where do you think that you have to, where are the Lions looking most, you know?
So when the cuts come, what position do you think they will sign? I will think they will sign a offensive lineman, a backup offensive lineman, maybe a tackle, if they can find a tackle.
Interesting.
Yep.
Because they brought in guards to work out, not tackles.
I know. I think they figure they're going to get Barch back eventually, and they're going to get Cade Mays back eventually, and maybe that eventually won't be in time for the season. Is Devin Cochran their backup left tackle?
It's either him or Miles Frazier has played it. Sorstall is kind of their backup tackle.
I find I'm more worried about the left tackle backup than can Borum. Borum played over there, right? They just said his best film was at right tackle.
Well, I mean, if you look at the film of the first couple plays, and then play number two in particular did not look good.
Yep.
I wouldn't think it's on the tackle position. I could see offensive line, but for me, I think it's defensive back. It's finding a corner. Or maybe even a safety, whichever one pops up that looks like it's an upgrade of what you have. I looked at a couple of different roster projections for the Lions, one from The Athletic and I think one from Dave Burkett. Mm-hmm. And actually, not three of them, because now I think of it, one from was also from ESPN. And I think all three of them had the Lions keeping three safeties. I'm not sure if that's appropriate, if that's a mistake. Now, it's three, and that's before the situation with their starting safeties that are they're out right now. So maybe it'll just correct itself if, you know, Kirby Joseph is healthy enough to play.
Right.
But I'm not counting on it that he'll be ready to go from moment one or that he's going to be able to survive the season. And we know that Brian Branch is going to be out for a while. So I wouldn't be surprised if they added a safety.
Kang, when the cuts come from other teams, what position do you think they're most likely to sign?
I agree with safety as a possible focal point getter because, I mean, obviously we already know with Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch, they have essentially two backups starting the year. But outside that, I got an outside shot call here. Trey Benson just got released by the Cardinals. Drew Petzing, you know, he came from Arizona Cardinals. You know, guys, I like Vaki, but he has really got, you know, I almost feel like, I don't know if he's fighting for a roster spot necessarily, but
I'm starting to think he needs to get healthy.
Yeah,
quick.
It's not like it's cemented at this point either. That's why I worry about him. And then I think they really like Saylor, so we'll see. Just keep an eye on Benson. But yeah, I would agree with the safety position, Gator.
248-539-9797. As we approach the first round of cuts, or I guess it's everybody gets cut at the same time now. As we approach NFL cut day, what position do you think the Lions will target? Would you like to see them target? 248-539-9797. Phone calls and feedback on that. We'll talk a little college football next hour as well. Plus, Gator said, surprised me a little bit, called this overrated.
What's the problem?
Okay, well, I'm about to see if it's a popular take.
You're going
to
at me?
We'll get to that at 105. Here on Carson Anderson. Just a reminder, stream the show with the Odyssey app. Get it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Then you can listen to this show and all the shows here on 97.1. Anywhere in the United States. Also streaming through our website, 971theticket.com. Streaming with video on Twitch and YouTube. Participate in the streaming chat on both of those sites. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1.